Want to see the world from a totally different perspective?
Ready for provocative conversation?
Intriguing stories?
And inspiration?
Then don't touch that dial.
Welcome
to Talk with Francesca.
She'll give you something to talk about all week long.
Now, here's Francesca.
What if you took the time to really soak it in?
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Talk with Francesca, and happy Saturday. I'm Francesca Bastarash, and you're listening to AM 1510 WWZN Boston. If you have any questions or comments and you want to join in on the conversation, you can send me an email at host@talkwithfrancesca.com. So today we have a rather provocative topic, cheating and the truth about it. Two slightly different opinions, but both reasonable theories. I'll give you my assessment. We'll first hear from M. Gary Newman, a licensed family counselor and rabbi and the author of the New York Times bestseller, The Truth About Cheating, Why Men Stray and What You Can Do to Prevent It. Gary has been a frequent guest on Oprah. He has appeared multiple times on Today, Good Morning America, and The View. Welcome, Gary Newman. Thank you for being on Talk with Francesca today.
Great to be back. Thanks.
Gary, you conducted a lot of research, over 200 men. Who were these men? Were they cheaters, or were these faithful guys?
So basically, we went after both. We wanted to compare the two types of groups. So we had 100 cheaters who physically cheated in a marriage and 100 who had remained faithful. And basically, we wanted to compare the two groups. So whatever statistics I was giving you, I could compare to the better or healthier group to the unhealthier, the failed marriages.
Okay. So tell the folks listening, what's the number one reason men who cheated say that they cheated?
Right, so this is the big surprise. Obviously, everybody always thinks they're going to say sex. The number one reason that they said they cheated by far was emotional dissatisfaction at home. Now, what this meant was that this doesn't mean to blame the wife ever. The victim is not to be blamed. It's just saying that from their perspective, that these relationships that began outside the relationship were promoted predominantly by an emotional relation and attachment that then, of course, turned into a sexual relationship. The men who cheated, who said that it was purely sex for sex sake, only 7% said that that was their primary motivating factor, as compared to 48% that said it was largely emotional was the number one, and the other was a mixture of the both.
That's surprising. And you know what? I like what you say about appreciating your partner and the emotional kind of, connection. I really get that. But are you saying that this is a woman's responsibility to do this, to make the marriage work and to stop the possibility of cheating? I mean, I think that men can be, dare I say, a tad more insecure than women.
So my message to couples is that, I'm in a marriage and I'm going to be celebrating, thankfully, my 26th wedding anniversary this August. My message is that it is both your responsibility to do a lot of positive things in relationship to make the marriage work. Cheating is wrong, okay? Even if you have a lousy, terrible marriage, get divorced, okay,
Absolutely.
Before you cheat. So we're not going to find any kind of excuse for cheating. That's not the point. But the point is, if you're going to be somebody who's going to be emotionally disconnected from your spouse, man or woman, then I don't know how to say it. I just don't kill the messenger. Don't be shocked that the person is going to find someone else to be emotionally connected to. So I'm not saying to women, you're the problem. I'm just saying, look, men need more emotional attachment than we men lead on. Most women look at men and they think, no, he doesn't want, he just wants sex. That's all he wants. He doesn't want this appreciation, this commonality and connection and growth and communication. He doesn't want any of that. The truth is he does. Now, you might not want it the same way a woman does. Men don't come over
right,
to their wives
exactly.
And say, oh, give me a hug. Can you give me a hug, honey? No, that's not the way it works. So we have to get more into the discussion, more into getting out and having fun, more into doing those things you did when you dated to make sure that you're keeping emotionally connected.
Men, though, Gary, they can be very hard to communicate with. Why is it that men have such a difficult time with emotional connection? Let's face it, when a man gets together with a friend, oftentimes it's to go to the pub down the street to have a beer, or they're playing a game, or whatever it is. But it isn't usually getting together with a friend and sitting down and having a heart-to-heart, or at least not the guys I know.
Yeah, well, first of all, it could be biological. Surely it's societal. I have 4 sons and 1 daughter, 5 kids. Let me tell you something. We train our boys not to be so feeling. We train our boys to get out there and fight, be on the football field, don't cry, hold back emotions, sacrifice in order to be able to get ahead in business and make money. There is a load of messages that are given to men that say, don't sit down and just talk about your feelings. As a matter of fact,
feel them even. They're not even allowed to feel their feelings, right?
Exactly, and so much so that it's even seen as a weakness. And let me tell you, I have had women be turned off by their husbands being emotional. So sometimes women also have to look at themselves and say, how comfortable am I, or should I be, which hopefully would be, with a husband who is sensitive and warm and aware. Or do I really like that tough guy who's going to, beat up another man who comes in between us, or something like that?
I hear you. I really do, because there is something a little unsettling sometimes about a man who has too much of a developed feminine side. I get that. But let me just ask you, do you believe a couple can actually recover from infidelity?
Yes, they really can. I help people do it all the time, but it takes a few things. I'll tell you the quick read on that. Number one, it takes tremendous remorse from the cheater. If a guy has cheated, if he is going to be cavalier about his cheating or say things like, all men do it, or, it's been a month already since I apologized, what's your problem?
Mm-hmm.
You're in trouble. Okay? There's got to be a tremendous amount of remorse. The next thing is the two of them have to decide what was going on in our marriage that we have to change. It's very hard for the victim to hear that, something, even though he was dead wrong, moving forward, we were disconnected. What are we going to change about our lives and our relationship that's going to make us closer? Because I really believe that the way to prevent cheating, what I found in my study, was that people who remained emotionally and sexually close, they reduced the odds of their cheating. But one other thing I have to say is that men must check on their friends and close friends who are cheating. The men who cheated had 77% of them said they had a best friend who cheated. Faithful men said less than half of them said they had a best friend who cheated. So men do, once they've cheated and they want to make it better with their wives, they have to change their own personal style of living. They might not be able to go out to those conventions alone anymore. They might not be able to go, hanging around with their friends and going out with them afterwards, those guys who were cheaters. They really do have to change their lives if they want to make that true commitment and not get themselves caught again. Remember, a lot of these men were not these terrible guys who were looking to cheat. The majority of them just kind of fell into it. Well, totally wrong, again, but they weren't looking to flirt. It just kind of happened around a hobby, around the workplace. And then suddenly, before they realized that they were way too far into it than they should have been.
So am I hearing you say in some way that the philosophy of once a cheater, always a cheater doesn't necessarily apply?
Right. I don't think it applies. I think it applies in cases only where those men are cavalier, not looking into what they can do to change. I think to change cheating does take a great deal of work. And if that commitment to work isn't there, it's going to be bad. Most people who cheat, interesting enough, never seek out therapy or counsel from whether a clergy person or a professional counselor. So most of them are just trying to. I tell you what happens with most women, and this is a big mistake that women make. They find out their husband's cheating. Remember, by the time you find out your husband's cheating, you've already been driven crazy, probably for a year or two or more, because you've been lied to, you've turned into an investigator, you feel terrible about it all. And then you find out, and he says, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. And then you say, okay, don't do it anymore. And then we just kind of go back and forth. And after a month or two, she just figures, okay, I just have to swallow it and go on. What else am I going to do? There's really never any practical changes that happen. There's really no discussion about what we're going to do day to day that's going to make our relationship better. And then she just kind of swallows it and figures she can't bring it up anymore. And then there's a very high chance that he's going to cheat again after this.
I would agree with that. We're talking to Gary Newman, author of New York Times bestseller, The Truth About Cheating, Why Men Stray and What You Can Do About It. Gary, you know, a significant life event, such as a death, a job change, you know, this can be a very challenging time for couples. And during that time, if a man isn't a good communicator, that, I would think, would be a prime time for him to cheat, to, you know, to distract him from the pain. And I hate to say it, but there's always some woman out there that's all too happy to, well, again, mm-hmm. dare I say, kind of almost stroke that, almost a baby, you know, because, yeah. you know, if he isn't emotionally mature, then that's the direction a man is going to go. So what practical steps can a woman take during those very challenging times to make sure that the man stays emotionally connected to her?
First of all, one of the biggest mistakes that women make, and God love them, I feel so bad for women who come to me like this, is that they get married, they start to have children, build their own careers, their husband's building his career, whatever is going on, and they think to themselves, look, I'm not too connected to my husband, but that's the way it's supposed to be. You know, when the kids get older, you know, 20, 30 years, 12 years from now, you know, then we'll, big recipe for disaster. Now, they find out years later that they're disconnected, their husband's been cheating. It's a big mistake. So here are the things that you need to do. First of all, time is very important. When I did my study of women, both who cheat and remain faithful, time was number one. If you're not having regular time uninterrupted to talk and chat and catch up with your husband, with your spouse, it's not going to work. You need consistency in the relationship. So right away, go to your spouse, your husband, and say, listen, I love you too much for us to be disconnected. It's not that you want to nag him to have time together. I just want to spend time, and let's have some fun. So whether it means, you know, having a drink on the balcony, you know, 3-4 times a night after the kids are in bed, 45 minutes, make sure there are at least 4 or 5 times a week where you're getting 45 minutes of uninterrupted time together just to chat and to hang out. Beyond that, one night a week, have a date night, 2 hours minimum alone. I tell people to go out, talk about anything except money, work, and kids. Everybody always laughs. What the heck are we going to talk about, Gary? Same old story.
Exactly.
It's not what got you there. You weren't talking about the stress when you were dating. You've got to keep it, have some fun and some light. And it can be meaningful, too. Go to your lectures. Go read books together. Do stuff mm-hmm. together. But it's primary that the two of you find the things to be connected. And here's a third thing I'm going to tell you. Get involved to the extent that you can in each other's hobbies. This idea that I'm such a good person, I let my husband go off on, you know, weekends with his buddies for sports or hunting or whatever, you know, man stuff is. You don't want to get too disconnected from your husband's passion. It doesn't mean that you have to infiltrate every moment he wants to watch, you know, Sunday football. But the idea of you saying, I just don't get it, I just don't want to have anything to do with it. If he wants to go to a basketball game, let him just take his friends. Yeah, not a great idea. Sure, he should be having some male bonding time, but you want to be a part of that. You know, why wouldn't it be great if you had an opinion and you knew what was going on in the sports world so that you could have some understanding about what's going on? Just
well,
the same way that he should with you.
You know, when you are interested, you are interesting. Do you know?
Yeah, and you share that passion. To the relationship.
Yeah, absolutely. What are some love busters? You know, I mean, I know that, you know, not paying attention and being disconnected, but what are some things that really go against a marriage and not create cheating, but break things up a bit?
I think one of the fascinating things I found was men love to be winners. We love to win, okay? You just watch us watch a sports game, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm, when exactly.
You think that we owned the team, right? And you owned it. When a woman makes a man feel that he just can't win, in general. That's a big problem. Men will watch a sports game to the bitter end until their team can't win. Once their team can't win, most guys will turn off the television set. So very often, I think women have to be aware that men's ego is much softer than and more sensitive than they think. And we want to inspire our spouses. And, of course, we're saying about men, this goes both ways, but we have to be talking about what women can do for their relationship. That the idea of having it is inspiring to a man to feel like you're hitting the mark. Don't have your husband feel like no matter what you do, but basically I'm going to be annoyed with you and upset with you and think that you've screwed it up. When that starts to happen, it is a big downer. And unfortunately, like you said before, Francesca, there's just too many people out there who are waiting to stroke men's egos in the business world and in the world at large. So you always, even if he's not going to get it right all the time, like you won't, it's not going to be perfect. Make him feel like you appreciate that effort. You know,
Gary, I know that you're
stereotype. He gets you a piece of jewelry. Love the jewelry, okay? Don't return the jewelry.
Exactly.
You know?
Wear it whether you like it or not. I couldn't agree with you.
Let the guy win, you know?
Gary, I know that your time is valuable and you don't only have so much of it here, so I want to get to some of the questions that we have coming in. Cheryl from Amesbury asks, what is the best way to get the ball rolling if your sex life has come to a dead stop?
So I think it's a little bit of conversation. I think it's saying to your husband, let's find a way for both of us to make this fun. And I think it should be about fun. I think we've got to take the pressure off. You know, sexual problems happen mostly because of anxiety, performance anxiety. So we both have to say, listen, let's not worry about what the end result is going to be. Let's just get back into it and make it fun. And what do we have to do? Because sometimes to make sex more fun, it's strange as my staff, it's getting the kids to sleep so when you still have some energy. You know, sometimes it's about making an appointment and making sure we're all well fed and we have some space and time in our heads to actually get into bed and fool around or watch a little TV for a few minutes or something, you know? So it's really about saying, let's do it in a fun way, and then let's talk practically about what to do it. These conversations just say, okay, so great, we both want to have more sex, let's do it. That doesn't leave us with anything practical about how we're actually going to get to that point.
You've got it. Yeah, exactly. Okay, Cheryl, that was a great question. Also, Annette from Manchester, New Hampshire, what do you do if your partner has more of an interest in sex than you do?
So I think that is something that's very common, first of all, right? Men and women don't necessarily have the same sex, you know, libido at the same period of time. As a matter of fact, you should be aware that men reach your sexual height libido-wise, they claim at 19 years old scientifically, and women at the age of 40. I think that is one of God's biggest humorous moments ever. But nonetheless, I think it's something, again, that should be talked about, and it should be talked about to the extent of what works for sex. I think, first of all, I have proven beyond a shadow of a doubt from my female studies that women love sex, that this idea... I did a study of women. Happy women reported having sex double the amount of times per month than women who said they were in unsatisfactory marriages. So there's no doubt that when women are happy in their marriage, they have more sex and enjoy having more sex.
Women are, you know, much more sexual beings than you might think. I mean, look at all the hoopla about the book 50 Shades of Grey. It's just...
Of course.
It's been crazy. Here's another one. They're all coming in from women. Ha ha, I can't imagine why.
Yes.
Aaron from Glastonbury, Connecticut. Men put the brakes on sex more often than women. I think I read somewhere. Yet it always seems that it is the woman that has to ultimately fix the mess. Why is that?
I think that, like it or not, and I'm not in agreement with this, but like it or not, women, because they are more given, whether biologically or sociologically, to emotion, they tend to be the leaders of relationships.
Caretakers, I mean,
you can say no. I mean, you can decline that job, let's say, and you can not talk about it. But the fact is that women tend to be much more aware and sensitive to the emotions of relationships, to the sexuality, to how to make things better, and they will likely be bringing these things up more so or initiated quicker than men will. And they're much better typically at listening and communicating. So when I speak to groups of men, I talk about the fact that we need to become better communicators and we need to listen to our wives and share our feelings about what will make it better for us. And back to that other question about sex, I think whoever doesn't want sex much in that relationship should be thinking, how do I make it more fun? Very often, libido is down for women because they're exhausted, because it's not so much foreplay. They're not getting to the main event in the way that they're feeling that they're being attended to. So they're saying, oh, I just don't have it so much. Not that you don't have it so much, it's that it's understandable unless it's something that's enjoyable and comfortable and pleasing for you. It's not driving your sex drive up the way it could. So don't just say, I just don't have as much libido as he does. Instead say, you know, what do I need from him in order to drive my libido up?
I can't believe it. I've got a question coming in from a guy, Joe from Haverhill. Finally, exactly. Why is it that everyone thinks it's the guy who cheats? Women cheat just as much. There are two women at work that I know are cheating on their husbands. Why talk about men cheating all the time? I would never cheat on my wife whether she paid attention to me or not. If she is emotionally elsewhere, I don't take that as an insult. I just assume that she is preoccupied. I don't need constant attention and to be coddled all the time. Well, good for you, Joe.
Well, let me tell you something. In my study of women, there is no doubt 39% of married women in my study of over 400 women said that they physically cheated on their men. So the fact is women cheat a tremendous amount. Where do you think all those men who are cheating, who do you think they're cheating with? They're not all single women, let me tell you. But here's what I think it is. I think women are a little better at hiding the cheating, or men are so obtuse about thinking their wives would be cheating. Like, women are, like, constantly thinking, like, is he cheating? What's going on? He's thinking from me. He's disconnected. Something's going on. Guys, it's like their women can be cheating for who knows how long, and, like, they just don't want to look at it and don't want to think about it.
I can't even imagine it.
That's why we're so focused on men, because it just comes out so much more.
Right.
But I do agree, and I have statistics to prove that women are cheating, unfortunately, dissatisfied relationships and cheating very much.
You know, Gary, some would argue that monogamy is unnatural. Do you agree with that?
I don't. I don't agree with it. You know, I think monogamy is hard. I think the people who want to throw out everything, like they say in the animal world, then they're not monogamous. Well, you know, I'm not an animal. I have a soul. I have a certain brain. I'm trying to make my life better and grow as a human being. I think monogamy is work. I think it takes work, like any good thing that you have to do takes a tremendous amount of work.
Absolutely. There's always an easy way out in life, but it depends on what you know. If you want to live comfortably in your own skin or not. All right. Gary Newman, author of New York Times bestseller, The Truth About Cheating, Why Men Stray and What You Can Do About It. And Gary, give our listeners your website, please.
It's mgarynewman.com, MGARYNEUMAN.com.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for being on Talk with Francesca today.
Always a pleasure.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.
All right, then. Next up, Ruth Houston, who calls herself an infidelity victim and now expert. She has a slightly different analysis. She says the reason men cheat is because of sex or lack of it, or they want a variety, and more. She also dissected this topic extensively, and she's going to give you her conclusion as to the whys and more. So stay tuned. Marinate in that until we come back.
Here I go, I'm on my way with my love glasses on.
Are you looking for a stronger or more creative business and internet presence? Call JB Web and Graphic Design. From websites and banners to logos and business cards, we'll help your organization or business to reach its maximum potential with style. Owner Johanna Bresnahan will work with you to ensure your complete satisfaction, and initial consultations are always free. So contact Johanna today at 978-998-5797 or visit her online at johannabresnahan.com. Once again, that's JB Web and Graphic Design at 978-998-5797. And remember, the better you look, the better we do.
Are you looking for an authentic Italian meal in an intimate setting? Then you'll want to dine at Terra Mia's. This North End Italian restaurant provides a simply divine culinary experience and, as quoted in Zagat's restaurant guide, pastas without compare. And it's reasonably priced. This North End gem will keep you coming back. Terra Mia is simply the best Italian restaurant in all of Boston. Call 617-523-3112, 617-523-3112, or terramiarestaurante.com.
Have you ever thought about hiring an interior designer? No longer just for the upper class. Designers offer many services that are affordable and involve clients making their own choices to achieve a high level of functionality, comfort, and style in your home. Christina Marie Interiors offers consultation and full-service interior design for projects ranging from residential to light commercial settings. At Christina Marie Interiors, we strive to create interiors that simultaneously elevate function and provide the client with endless inspiration. Our homes should be our refuge, our place to relax and recharge. At Christina Marie Interiors, we know that each client's needs are unique. CMI offers a range of services from paint consultation and selection to full-on renovations and project management. Give Christina Marie Interiors a call today at 781-572-5380 to start creating your oasis or visit ChristinaMarieInteriors.com.
All right, we're back, and here with me now is Ruth Houston, infidelity expert. Ruth Houston's career as an infidelity expert grew out of her personal experience as an infidelity victim when she accidentally discovered her now ex-husband's affair. What began as a fact-finding mission has since become her life's work. Over the past 18 years, Ruth has interviewed over 8,000 people about various aspects of infidelity, including cheaters and infidelity victims, both male and female, marriage counselors, divorce attorneys, and private investigators specializing in infidelity investigations. She's also written a book, Is He Cheating on You? 829 Telltale Signs. Ruth, that's a lot of signs to look for. Welcome, Ruth, for joining me today on Talk with Francesca. That seems like... Whew,
that's a lot of signs, yes. Of course, not every cheater is going to display every single sign. And the signs that are displayed will depend on the type of infidelity, the circumstances of the cheating, and a lot of other factors. Then you have the signs, you have subtle signs, and you have obvious signs, but the majority of the signs are subtle.
Oh, boy.
Those are the signs that you find. I know you've heard people say, oh, I knew he was cheating. There was nothing I could put my finger on, but I just knew he was cheating. What has happened is that that person has subconsciously picked up on those subtle signs of infidelity.
Oh, you know what? I think that there are red flags all the time with cheaters, and I think it's just a matter of whether or not people are interested in really looking at them. I think it's they're not as I don't think they're always as subtle. That's just my opinion, but for what
well,
it's worth.
Some of them are subtle, but some of them are quite obvious.
Yeah, and
you don't know what they are and you don't know what to be alert for, you could very easily miss them. I've had numerous people who, after they've gotten a copy of my book, call or email and say, oh, my God, he did this, he did that, he said this, he said that, and I never connected what he was doing or saying with the fact that he was cheating.
Mm.
Because some of them are quite ordinary things. They may be a little odd, but what's happening is that when you see certain things in clusters, that's when you have a real indication, because you could falsely accuse someone thinking that what you're seeing are signs.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, we're gonna get into the signs in a bit, but before we do, just tell the folks listening briefly why your husband, or why you feel that your husband cheated on you.
I think he cheated for a number of reasons. Number one, he really did not see that there was anything wrong with infidelity.
Oh, well.
Now, if you've got
case
someone,
closed.
Yes. If you've got someone like that, then obviously they're going to act in accordance with their beliefs.
Absolutely.
He did not feel that there was anything wrong with it. He did not want a divorce. He did not want to leave. It wasn't the fact that, you know, we had an active sex life, and when I questioned him about it, he said, no, you know, they're not any better in bed than you are. They're not prettier, sexier, any of those things. It's just different. And, you know, no, I don't want to leave you.
just wanted a little,
you know, so
blow out the carbon.
Have a very warped way of thinking.
Yes, but absolutely. Did you ever think that he would cheat on you?
No, I did not. But the interesting thing was that when we first met and started dating, he was a very charming man. And I remember saying to my mother at the time, he is so perfect, but he has so many women in his life. And then one day, completely out of the blue, one Saturday, he was at my apartment, and he took out his little black book. This was before the days of cell phones and all that. And took out his little black book, and he started calling women and telling them, look, I'm not going to be seeing you anymore. I've met someone that I'm really serious about. You know, it's been fun, and it's been great and all that. But
he did this in front of you?
You know. I'm sorry?
He did this in front of you?
He called them. Uh-huh. In front of me, called these women up, and said this. And I thought at that point, well, maybe things can get serious now. It made a great impression on me, the fact that he would actually call these women and tell them that he was no longer going to see them.
You didn't think that was odd that he did that in front of you?
No, I just saw that as a sign that, okay, these women are now going to be out of his life and he's ready to get serious and settle down.
Mm-hmm.
I should have known when you're trusting, you don't always see mm-hmm. things. And that is the thing that I found out when I started researching infidelity. Mm-hmm. If you're trusting, there could be things right in front of your face that you see but don't connect with infidelity.
So there's no way that his infidelity could have been prevented other than you not being with him, right?
No,
I mean, the only way that it would have been prevented is if you did not end up marrying the guy.
Right. Well, you know, the thing is, if a man is a cheater, and some men are just cheaters.
Well, I say one's
really
a cheater, always a cheater.
That you can do about it. You know, we hear so much about, you know, what can you do to affair-proof your marriage and keep him from cheating. The reality is that if he truly wants to cheat, there isn't anything that you can do. It's not men and women tend to cheat for different reasons. Now, when a woman cheats, and we're not excusing infidelity by men or women, we're not excusing it, but when women cheat, it's usually as a last resort. Women's infidelity is connected with dissatisfaction with the marriage or the relationship, a lack of an emotional bond. They cheat. They tend to cheat in general terms for emotional reasons. Men tend to cheat for sexual reasons. They want more sex. They want different sex. They want sex. They want to see what sex is like with a different person. It may be opportunistic sex. They're presented with an opportunity to have sex where they can do it and not get caught, so they take advantage of it. But they're not out there cheating because they're unhappy or because they want divorces or because they don't love their wives. And the proof of that is right in front of us every day when we hear about celebrity infidelity.
Well, that's kind of a generalization.
Look at Tiger Woods. Look at how many people he cheated with. Did he want a divorce? No.
Well, you know what? That's kind of a generalization, and that's a type. You know, Tiger Woods is a type. But I don't agree with you. I think that I'm not saying that there aren't some men that just want to cheat because of, you know, little variety or whatever, you know. But I think that just as many men also cheat for the very same reason that women cheat. And I think that men also have a very strong need for emotional connection. And I also think that men, even sometimes more so, need that emotional connection with their spouse or their partner because they don't have that with other men, generally speaking. Guys connect by playing, you know, games or going out to the pub down the street and having a couple of beers or whatever it might be. But men in general don't go out with a friend and have this heart-to-heart, deep-felt kind of conversation. In general, there's always...
Okay, that's true.
There's always...
And there are some men who do cheat for the same types of reason as women,
right,
that they are looking for an emotional bond, just as you have women who will cheat for the same reasons as men. They're strictly looking for sex and not much more than that. They don't want a serious relationship. But those women tend to be younger women. When I say younger, I'm speaking 25 and under. Generally, when a woman is in a good relationship, she is not going to cheat. Unless
right.
unless there's something wrong.
Well, you know what, I would agree.
Not
yeah.
always the case with men.
Yeah, I would agree with that. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Talk with Francesca, and I'm here with Ruth Houston, who is an infidelity expert.
One of the interesting things, Francesca, is that in, I can't remember exactly what year it was, a few years ago, maybe about 2 or 3 years ago, there were three studies done that were published within months of each other in medical journals that showed that the bottom line was that happy husbands cheat too. They did a number of studies with hundreds, one of them thousands of couples who were, one party was cheating. And when they interviewed the men about the nature of their relationship, they had no complaint about the relationship. They were happy.
Crazy.
There was nothing wrong, but they were out there cheating on their wives. So we can see that you could have the perfect marriage, but that does not make you immune to infidelity. Your husband could still cheat. That's why I say that if he wants to cheat, if he truly wants to cheat, if he's truly one of those men who is susceptible to infidelity, then there really isn't a lot that you can do to stop him from cheating.
Well, you know, there's a lot of, I'll go back to the red flags here. I think that, first of all, I think oftentimes when a couple gets married a little too young and then they're into their years in the marriage and there's some cheating. But I think that, you know, a couple, when they're a little bit older, they've been dating for a while and they're more mature, I think there are signals and signs to see either way that they're not the cheating type or they are. I really believe that. I mean, there are certain qualities in a person that we look for that are, you know, I'm not saying it still cannot happen, but are less likely to happen. And there are certain, one thing I think is a given. I really, really believe this. If the guy or the woman cheated while they were dating, they're going to cheat when they're married.
Oh, absolutely.
I think that is a no brainer. I think it's you know, a dead giveaway. And you know what else? If they didn't cheat when they were dating, if they shared with you that they cheated on a past partner, it still is something to really take a good, it's a good idea to take a good serious look at this person.
Absolutely.
And the other thing is too, that how the person deals with a crisis, how the person deals with a difficult situation. I think that sometimes, and it can be, again, men and women, I'm not choosing either or, when they don't know how to deal with a crisis in life, when there's been a significant death possibly, when there is a change in a job, sometimes if a man loses his job, that can really wreak havoc on his self-esteem, certain things, and how that relationship fares through that difficult time can be very, very telling. And it can make a big difference. Oftentimes, if there's a problem in a relationship, cheating occurs because the person doesn't want to have to deal with the emotions of going through the pain of a difficult
That's
time.
That's true, too. It's a form of escape for some people. Now, one of the things, though, that you want to look very carefully at, certainly if the person has cheated while you were dating, that's a big red flag. But in a past relationship, we hear the expression, once a cheater, always a cheater. That's not necessarily true. Here is the determining factor. Cheaters become repeaters if they don't suffer any negative consequences as a result of their infidelity. Now remember, no one is making a person cheat. No one's holding a gun to their head to make them cheat. They're cheating because they want to do it, because they enjoy what they're doing. If they don't suffer any negative consequences, if they don't lose their job, their family, their money, their reputation, their health, picking up an STD, if nothing bad happens to them as a result of something they're doing that they enjoy anywhere, anyway, they have no reason to stop. So,
well, there's something called guilt. There's something called a conscience.
Well, if they had that, they wouldn't be cheating in the first place.
Well, that's, you know what? I agree with you there.
That's why when women say, well, you know, I looked the other way, I just figured it was a fling, or, you know, he didn't mean it, or whatever, or I know he's cheating, but I'm not going to say anything to him. I'm just going to let it play out because it's going to die down anyway.
Let me stick my fingers down my throat now. So you say that women should look for signs of infidelity, and I mean, that seems to be a rather strange way to have a relationship. It's kind of like putting one foot in the grave, and it almost seems like it's going into a relationship in a very distrusting way. It would seem more sensible to really get a gauge on your partner rather than start to look for signs.
Well, you know, Francesca, because no one is immune to infidelity and because there are so many signs that are subtle, you want to be alert and aware of what types of things to look for to indicate that something could be wrong.
Give me some.
Because many of the signs of impending infidelity are exactly the same as infidelity in progress. I like to compare it to breast cancer. We're told to do a breast exam every month because we want to pick up on anything that could be an indication that we have something that could be detrimental to our health.
Okay.
A relationship is the same way. There are certain things that you want to be alert for so that
such as
if you catch it early. Well, if you see that there's a lack of there's a lack of attention, if you see that there's a distance, the lines of communication are starting to break down, if you see some of the classic signs, the missing in action, coming in late from work, suspicious telephone or computer activity, these could be indications, but that's not enough alone to say the person is cheating. But you, when you see that, you want to be that. So that should put you on alert to see if there are any corroborating signs. When you start seeing clusters of signs, then that's a pretty sure indication that something is going on. But one or two signs in and of themselves could be meaningless. They could be significant, but they could be meaningless. You don't want to accuse an innocent person. That could be as detrimental to your relationship as infidelity itself.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't. That just seems still very peculiar to be trying to look out for signs. I would think that you'd spend your time.
You know, it's not that you're snooping or that, you know, it's not anything like that where you're physically, you know, sneaking and peeping and prying. You're just being alert for something that's amiss.
Well, I think that if something were amiss, it would just kind of, you'd naturally notice.
But some people don't.
Yeah, I suppose. What do you think?
Most cheaters never get caught. Most cheaters never get caught.
Why do you think that is?
Well,
because they don't want to get caught.
What?
Because they don't want to get caught.
Cheaters, people don't always know what to look for. And you have, in the age of modern technology, they can cover their tracks very well. So if you really don't know what to look for, the fact still stands. The wife or the infidelity victim is still the last to know. And you, in this day and age, you can't afford to be the last to know. For no other reason than from a standpoint of health.
Well,
if that person is out there cheating,
right?
You know, you that could be a death sentence for you.
Oh goodness!
But
yeah.
Certainly, if you're in a relationship, you don't want to suddenly have your husband come in one day and ask for a divorce, and you've had no chance to prepare yourself. You have not put any legal or financial safeguards in place. You cannot afford to be caught out there like that.
Right.
And if you don't see it coming, that's a very sure sign of what could happen.
What do you have a recommendation of what is the worst thing to do if you find your mate cheating? Or yes. The worst and the best, actually. I'm going to ask you both.
Okay, well, the worst and the best are kind of opposites of each other.
Yeah.
yes. But, for example, let's put it this way. First of all, the reason that you want to know what not to do is because if you handle the situation the wrong way, that could negate the final decision that you make. Not every person who experiences infidelity leaves their mate. And it may not be necessary. They may be able to save the marriage or the relationship. Not everyone stays with their mate. But
who would really want to stay with it, someone who cheated on them? I don't know. I don't get
that.
Many
people do.
I know they do, but I don't get it. I don't get it, and I don't want to get it.
The marriage may be worth saving. It depends on the type and the circumstances of the infidelity. There's no one-size-fits-all solution when it comes to dealing with infidelity. It's a very individual thing. So that's why until you're absolutely sure, because you could say without a doubt, well, if he cheats on me, I'm leaving. And then when it happens to you, and I've had so many people say this to me, men and women, that it's a very different thing. You may think in your mind that you will just leave or kick the person out. That's not always the case. But going back to what the worst things to do, the worst thing to do at the very beginning when you discover that your mate is cheating, the very worst thing to do is to leave or put that person out. You may eventually come to that conclusion. That may be your final decision. But in the beginning, it's the worst thing to do because once you put that person out, once you leave, you have no way of knowing exactly what's going on with that situation. Did you discover an affair that's over now? Or is it a budding affair? Is it an emotional affair? Or is it a physical affair? Exactly what's going on? You need to know before you can make an intelligent decision about whether to leave or stay. You do need to have certain facts. And most of those facts will be unavailable to you unless you want to pay out tons of money for a private investigator. Most of those facts will be unavailable to you if you kick the person out or leave right away.
Right.
How often is he or she seeing that person? If they've had a one-night stand and you've discovered that one-night stand and that's all it is, that's a very different situation than someone who's been cheating repeatedly behind your back with one person, which indicates that there's a very strong emotional bond there, or with multiple people on multiple occasions. Those are very different situations that will be dealt with differently, taking other things into consideration. I mean, sometimes there's a financial consideration that will keep a person from leaving, or, you know, there's so many factors that have to be considered.
Another thing that's
very bad to do in the very beginning before you have all the facts is to confront the suspected cheater without having the facts. You always confirm before you confront.
So, Ruth, we just actually have a few minutes left. My producer's signaling me here, and I'm sorry. It's such an interesting topic that we just have just a few minutes left, and I've got several questions coming in. But I guess we're just going to have time for, it looks like, one here. But I actually like this one. Debbie from Wakefield says, I've been cheated on by every guy I've ever dated, and then my first and second husband cheated. Am I doomed? Well, great question, Debbie. Before you answer, I might say, you know, you need to pay some attention here, and why there's obviously some reason beyond just finding a cheater. I mean, I would think that, you know, who knows, maybe her father was a cheater, maybe she doesn't have great self-esteem. I don't know. What do you think, Ruth?
She's picking the wrong kinds of people.
She's picking exactly
the same person over and over again, right? Just in a different body form.
Yeah, exactly. Ruth, and I'm so sorry that we've run out of time, because there's just so much more to talk about, and I do have several questions. But you know what I'm going to go ahead and do is email you some of these questions, because they're so interesting here. Let me see if I can just get one more question in. Marlene from Hanover, how do you know when dating if you could be potentially courting a cheater? I'm a 58-year-old widower, and I don't think I could stand another loss. That's a great call,
Marlene. Okay. again, you want to look at the person's track record. You have to ask questions, not do an interrogation and give the person the third degree. But just in the course of conversation, ask them about their past relationships. And that will give you a clue as to their mindset. And then certainly when things start to get serious, come right out and ask the person how they feel about infidelity. And if you get answers such as, well, you know, as long as you don't get caught, well, it doesn't necessarily mean anything. And, you know, if they're treating it with a casual attitude, then that's a very bad sign right there.
Okay, Ruth Houston, is he cheating on you? 829 telltale signs. Ruth, thank you so much for being on Talk with Francesca today. It's been a pleasure. Loads of information. Really appreciate it.
You're quite welcome.
Okay. All right. It's time to say until next week, but you don't have to wait until next week for us to chat. You can send me an email at host@talkwithfrancesca.com, and I will get right back to you. And if you want to know more about Talk with Francesca and what's on the horizon, please visit my website, Talk with Francesca, and you can click on upcoming shows. Don't forget, I have another time now. I'm airing at both 7 a.m. on Saturday and again at 5 p.m. Have a fantastic week, and I hope I gave you something to talk about.
The stranger things, the songs we used to sing, the smiles, the flowers, everything.